Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the cycle of material activities, the material body represents the wheel of the mental chariot. The 10 senses, which includes 5 working senses and 5 knowledge-gathering senses, and the 5 life airs within the body, form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities. And the 8 ingredients of nature, or the 8 material elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub, or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul and the Ultimate Truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 5. Apureyam itastvandyam prakritim virimeparam jiva-bhutam mahabaho yayidam dayate jagat. The entire world is going on because a living entity, who is part and parcel of the Lord, is utilizing the material energy. Under the clutches of the material energy, the jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The central point is the Super Soul, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapter, verse 61. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh arjuni tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yancha rudhani mayayam. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. The material body of the living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activities. And because the supporter is the Super Soul is the true reality. Every one of us, therefore, should offer our respectful obeisances to this central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the Absolute Truth. That is the instruction given herein by Lord Brahma in his prayer. Om Anjanatam Randasya Viranjana Shalakai Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Titanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. In the table of contents, this verse is explained as the mental wheel of birth and death. And the analogy that's given here by Lord Brahma, he explains that the mind is like, the body is like the wheel that is moving through this samsara chakra. The term is used samsara chakra, or sometimes we say kala chakra. Kala chakra means the wheel of time. It's like the clock, the face of the clock, it goes around in a circle, in a certain way. Everything is moving in that particular circle. Just like if you have water in a bathtub, and you let out the water, it will also go in that same clockwise fashion as it goes down the hole. It will go around and around and around. So this is the movement. Things are going in a clockwise fashion. So the living entity is rotating through this cycle of time, circle of time. But time for the living entity in this material world is called samsara chakra. Means the wheel of birth and death. And we're rotating in that cycle because of the mind. And a very wonderful translation Prabhupada gives to this phrase, he says, manomaya. He says manomaya, and he defines that Sanskrit term, Srila Prabhupada, in a very beautiful way. He says, mana. Mana means mind. And maya means energy, or this material energy. So then Prabhupada says, this maya jagat, this world that we're living in this material world, this maya jagat. He says, this material world is nothing but a mental creation depending chiefly on the mind. Mana, maya. So what that means is that this whole material world only exists in the mind. Just as when we sleep at night, we are dreaming. And we create so many realities in a dreaming state. There are people, there are places, there are events, there are conversations, there are emotions, there's feelings. So many things go on when we dream, isn't it? And we may remember the next day, oh, I had this dream, I met so-and-so, and I said this, and I said that, or I had this experience, I woke up sweating, or I woke up full of fear. So we take the dream as a reality, but it only exists in the mind for a moment. The psychologists that analyze the subtle nature of the human being, they say that dreams last for a few seconds. 5, 6, 7 seconds is a dream when you're dreaming. 5 seconds, 10 seconds. But do you think when you're dreaming, oh, so many things happened. I did this, I did that, I did this and that. But it was only 10 seconds. Only while you were sleeping, during 10 seconds of your sleeping state, you had a dream. But due to illusion, due to this manomaya, we are thinking, oh, this is a significant thing that happened last night. So in the same way, when we wake up, this is also a dream. Prabhupada used to say the daydream and the night dream. The daydream is also created in the mind. We create so many identities, upadis. We create, just like in the dream, we create so many identities. I'm this, I'm that, I'm a king, I'm a kshatriya. Someone's attacking the temple, and I'm fighting them with swords and guns. We may have some dream like that. So when we wake up, we also, in our mind, this whole material world is also existing in our mind. It is only illusion. This is my wife, this is my husband, this is my body, this is my job, this is my duty. It is also illusion. But we identify very strongly with the illusion. And we're missing the center point. So Brahma is explaining this, that this whole material world, as soon as we stop identifying with the material world, as soon as we stop thinking of the material world, then we're out. We're out of the material world. So why are we thinking of the material world? Why are we having feelings for the material world and material personalities? And why are we willing and acting in the material world? Because these are the functions of the mind. And of course the mind gives the subtle energy to move the gross body. That's called Ichha Shakti, willpower. So the mind thinks, and the mind develops feelings through the union with the senses. The senses give impulses, which are feelings, hot feeling, cold, etc. So we're thinking with the mind, we're feeling, and then these thinking and feeling combine together to express the will, the perverted or the materialistic will of the conditioned soul. This is called the willing or Ichha Shakti, the willpower. We have some power of will. So these three activities, thinking, feeling, and willing, are all mental functions, functions of the mind. Now what is causing these things? Why are we thinking, feeling, and willing for this material world? Because as we mentioned, this whole material world exists only because we think it exists. It only exists in the mind. So the reason why we're thinking like this is because of our Prarabdha Karma. And our Anarabdha Karma, which also becomes Prarabdha. Our karma, our stored material desires, the material desires and activities from our previous life, we have carried into this life. And they are causing us to think, feel, and will materially. And because of that thinking, the material world continues for us. As long as we think about the material world and have desires for this material world, we stay in this world. And to stay in this world, you need a material body. If you want to live in the water in this material world, you need a fish body or an aquatic body. If you want to live in the air, if you have desire to live in the air in this material world, you must have a body of an insect or a bird. If you want to live in this terrestrial region of Earth, then you require a beastly body, a body of human being or animal, beast. So different bodies are required. So as soon as we stop thinking of the material world ceases for us, and we stop living in this material body. We see in the life story of the great Vaishnavas and the great devotees in our line who have absorbed themselves in the central point. Prabhupada explains when he ends his purport, he says, his nice point, excuse me, he says, every one of us should therefore offer respectful obeisances to the central reality. And we should not forget, one should not forget the central point. The central point is the super soul. In this analogy of Lord Brahma, we're talking about a wheel. The center of a wheel is called the axle, or the hub, H-U-B. And that hub, or the central point in this analogy, is the Paramatma, or the super soul. So the great devotees, they have dedicated their activities to the center. They have dedicated their thinking, feeling, and willing to the central point of reality, which is the absolute truth, which is manifest within each living entity, personally and individually, as the super soul. So each one of us can dedicate our life and activities to the super soul, or to Krishna within our heart. So when one becomes in that position of consciousness, where he's always thinking, feeling, and willing for the pleasure of the super soul, what happens? The material world ceases to exist, and that living entity no longer stays in this material body. That is called mukti. That is called liberation. When you study the lives of the great devotees, when they are so much hankering to return to the spiritual world, and are so much absorbed and feeling great moods of separation, and there's no more materiality, there's no more material thinking or material desiring in their body, then they leave that body. Even if that body is 25 years old or 30 years old, the body may be very strong and very fit, mind working nicely. But if they become free from all material desires, then this body no longer moves. This material body that we're in only exists because of material desire. When there's no more material desire, this material body is finished. So that is the position of a pure devotee. He has no more material desire. Now Krishna, when one comes to the platform of pure devotion, then Krishna has his desires for the devotee. He will move. He may say, yes, you come back, and you leave your body. Or he may say, no, you stay. I want you to stay in that body and do some seva. I want you to preach. And then that person comes, that Mahabhagavat, pure devotee, Uttam Adhikari, he remains in the body for maybe a long, many, many years. Even the body may even physically appear to be falling apart. Just like we know our Srila Prabhupada, his body was not in good shape. When he started his mission, his body was broken. His body was broken when he started his mission. Before he set his foot in America, he had two heart attacks. Already his body was broken. But Krishna had a desire for Prabhupada to spread Krishna prema all over the world. So Krishna was personally taking care of Srila Prabhupada's body, as evidenced by that description in the Lilamrita, when Prabhupada was suffering in the throes of a heart attack in his room, and he was thinking, how will I go on? I can't breathe, it's so painful. Then Krishna appeared to him. Krishna appeared to him, and all the avatars, Krishna and all the Das avatars, and they were pulling the Jaladuta across the ocean. And they were reassuring Prabhupada, don't worry, we are maintaining your body. Krishna and all the avatars, which includes Paramatma, of course, expansion of Krishna. So the Paramatma, the central point of reality, and Krishna himself, Prabhupada's personal Ishtadev, they all appeared to Prabhupada and said, we are pulling you, don't worry, you'll be successful. So the pure devotee remains in the body, not because of any karma, not because of any material desire, and not because of any identification or illusion with this material world, but because of the desire of Krishna to help others, to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is this manomayam. This whole material world only exists in the mind. As soon as we stop thinking about this material world, it stops existing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So the Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching people how to think. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that we should never forget the central point. We should always think of the super soul, meditate on the super soul. But how are we to meditate on the super soul? Because all we can see in front of us is our hands and legs and feet and nose and face. We can't see the super soul. But that super soul is the central reality. He's the center of existence. Now, that super soul is also known as Chaitya Guru. So when a living entity becomes serious to look within, it's called introspection, or looking within. When a living entity becomes serious about God and wanting to understand his real identity and the reality, he becomes a little bit intelligent. He says, wait a minute, this whole world is illusion. Everyone is just going on some drama and playing all these roles and all these husband, wife, boss, this. What is the essence? Everything is actually the essence of reality. Everything is spiritual. There is spiritual energy everywhere. What is the real meaning of life? So there are so many philosophies which one can latch onto to support this vision that one may attain in his sojourn throughout the material world. Various Advaitin philosophies, or Buddhistic philosophies, or existential philosophies, the French existentialists, Sartre and others, they give philosophies which support this realization. A living entity may realize, yes, it's all in my mind. It's all illusion. This is a daydream, a night dream, so why try to enjoy the dream? Don't enjoy the dream, just escape from reality. Just leave this world. And so sometimes the philosophies they advocate, since this whole world is illusion and it only exists in your mind, if you annihilate your existence, then you will annihilate the dream. You will annihilate the dream and you'll cease to be in this illusory environment. So some people, they commit suicide. But this material world is real, but it is temporary. So the devotee, he will, turning to the central point, he will come in contact with the Chaitya Guru. The super soul act as Chaitya Guru, for one is very sincere, and he will not allow him to become trapped by these limited philosophies of existentialism or Advaitin philosophy. He will guide him, the super soul will guide him. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavanajim Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Bij. A very sincere soul will get Krishna Prasad. He'll get Krishna Prasad, which is very, very rare. We see in Chaitanya Mangal, Lokchandas Thakur is describing how rare it is to get Krishna Prasad. Narada Muni was narrating one story, how he wanted so much to get Narayan's Prasad. He was always serving Narayan, but he never was getting his prasadam. He was traveling around, singing his glories, preaching, meditating on him, but he never got prasad. So then once he went and he stayed for 12 years, in Narayan Lok, Vishnu Lok. And he was serving very nicely over there, singing and doing other services. So then Lakshmi was very pleased with him, the compassionate side of Lord Narayan. She said, Narada, what do you want? And she said, Narada said, oh, all I want is a little bit of Mahaprasad. A little bit of Mahaprasad. And then Lakshmi remembered her husband's order. Narayan had told her, after I take my prasad, these remnants, my remnants are for you. Don't distribute them to anyone. You promise? So she said, yes, I promise. But she was remembering that promise that she made Lord Narayan not to distribute her remnants. But Narada Muni had served so nicely for 12 years, and she was her being soft-hearted by nature. The compassionate side of the Lord is there in his shakti. So she said, anyway, let me see, I tried. Maybe I'll try to give you some prasad. So then somehow, Lakshmi, she took some prasad from Narayan and she gave to Narada. And Narada was so happy and so joyful. So it's very rare to get the prasadam of the Lord. This is a long story, but that's very, very rare. So this prasadam comes in a form that the super soul, as we heard from this verse, Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Yanchu Rudaya Maya, the super soul is directing the wanderings of every living entity. So when one is very sincere to receive Krishna and worship him, then the super soul will guide you to Guru. The spiritual master is the external representation of the Paramatma. He is the Paramatma we can see. And what happens then? Then the devotee surrenders to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master becomes a central point of the devotee's life. As this verse mentions, we should not forget the central point of existence, the ultimate reality. We should not forget the center. So the center is the Paramatma. So the center for a devotee is Gurudev. We should not forget the spiritual master. So therefore, how does one remember the spiritual master? He tries to remember him at every moment. And of course, we may not know how to do that. So then the rishis and the sages and the acharyas, they give us a vidhi. They give us rules and regulations how to remember the spiritual master. So they say when you wake up in the morning, the first thing when you wake up and open your eyes, you say, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Krishna Balaram. Then you pay obeisances. And by paying obeisances, you offer the pranami prayers to Gurudev and remember him. And then what is the next thing you do? The next thing you do, according to Vishwanath Chakravartipad and all the acharyas in our line, you see everywhere in the Gaudiya movement, the next thing you do is you sing a prayer and meditate on it. What is that prayer? Samsara Dhavana Aliva Loka. In our institution, we sing that prayer as part of our Mangalarti ceremony. And all Gaudiya devotees, they sing this prayer. It doesn't matter what line they're from or this or that, because this prayer is so important. So they all start their day with meditating on these 8 prayers to Gurudev. How he saved me, he's freed me from birth and death, he's took me out of this illusory material world, he's changed my thinking, he's changed my feelings and willing. And then we meditate on the eternal position of spiritual master, his eternal seva. And then we conclude all of those meditations and prayers with mercy, mercy, mercy. Yasya prasada. I need your prasad, O Gurudev, to carry on this day, to live this day in remembrance of you, to live this day with you in the center of my life. I need your mercy. So that's the beginning of everyone at 4 o'clock in the morning, every single Gaudiya Vaishnava, every single follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rupa Goswami, they're all meditating on this prayer. It's a nice meditation itself to think that all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, thousands and millions of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're all singing and meditating on this prayer in the morning. So now the purpose of this meditation, these prayers which are given as part of our vidhi or part of our sadhana, is to fix our mind on the lotus feet of Guru, that he is the central point of our existence, because he is the Paramatma. Paramatma gives intelligence to an advanced person. Paramatma gives guidance. So we get our intelligence from Gurudev. We get our guidance from Gurudev. He says, do like this, do like that. And then he changes our thinking. By associating with the spiritual master, our thinking changes, our desiring changes, our feeling and our willing. We start to think, I am Krishna's servant. I am not this body. And my reality is in the spirit. My home is in the spiritual world, Godhead, Vrindavan, not Delhi. And I am not a member of this, some gotra in this world, but I'm a member of Krishna's family. So then, when we're always remembering the spiritual master, we'll think like this. Will my spiritual master be pleased by how I'm thinking right now? Will my spiritual master be pleased by what I'm speaking right now? Will my spiritual master be pleased by how I'm acting right now, what I am doing right now? Will he be pleased? So this is keeping the center in our lives. The center of our lives is our Guru. And Gurudev takes us to the center of the spiritual world. The center of the spiritual world is what? Goloka Vrindavan. So if we never forget the central point, which is Prabhupada mentions, don't forget the central point. The ultimate reality, the absolute truth, is before us as our Guru. And we always remember him by thinking for him, feeling for him, following his guidance. And that is the equivalent of the super soul. That is the center of the wheel, the center of the wheel, the hub of the wheel is the super soul. So the hub of our wheel, we're moving now, we're turning also. But we're not on the samsara chakra. We're on the mukti chakra. We're turning on the wheel of liberation. Every devotee is about to get liberated. He's already turning on the wheel of liberation. It's just a matter of time. Will you be liberated tomorrow, at the end of this life, or the next life? So now we're on the mukti chakra. We've left the samsara chakra. And we stay on the mukti chakra, the wheel of liberation, as long as the center point, as we're turning on the hub of Guru Seva. That the central point of our existence is Sri Guru and Sri Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And if we leave that service of Guru, then we go back to the samsara chakra and start turning on the wheel, the mental wheel of birth and death. The mental wheel of birth and death, which is the title for this verse that Prabhupada gave. So Gurudev, if he is the center of our life in this world, he will take us to the center of the spiritual world. Where is the center of the spiritual world? And what is the basis? What is the basis of the central point of the spiritual world? In 1972 in Radha Damodar Temple, Prabhupada made a very profound statement. He said that this place, this corner at the Radha Damodar Temple is the center of the spiritual world. It is the hub. It is the hub, or the center of the spiritual world. So what did Prabhupada mean when he said that in 1972, that the Radha Damodar Temple is the center of the spiritual world? It is the hub. It is the central point of the wheel, the spiritual world. So when we analyze the spiritual world, we come to the Parabyom. And the Parabyom is made of thousands and unlimited millions of planets, Anantalok. And all those millions of spiritual planets, the central planet is called Goloka Vrindavan, Gokul. And in Gokul, Gokul is described to give some vision of it for our mind. It is like that planet is described like a beautiful lotus flower. Huge lotus flower, a golden lotus flower. That is the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. And the central, and then the outer petals of that lotus flower, there are different spiritual regions, which are very, very close to the center, but not the center. And when you get to the very, very outer petals of Goloka Vrindavan, the very, very outside part of Goloka Vrindavan is Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha planets, Vishnu Loka, the 24 forms of Vishnu, they live on various Vishnu Lokas, and the avatars, the Das Avatar, their planets are there. But then you start to come to the center of the lotus. As you know, a lotus has outer petals and inner petals. Then the innermost petals of that lotus of the spiritual world of Goloka, then you have the most confidential holy dhams of the Lord. The most intimate, strongest holy dhams, or you could say strongest exchange of loving feelings between the Lord and His devotees. And you have Ayodhya, the Ram, the kingdom of Ram, Ram Raja. You have the spiritual planet of Ayodhya, which is one petal. But then you go even closer, further, further, closer to the center. Then you have Dwarka, Dwarka Dham. That is very close to the center. But then you go even closer and you have Mathura. Is one petal. But then when you get right to the center point of the lotus, it's called the Corolla. Then you have Brajagokul. You have Brajagokul, which is the 12 forests of Vrindavan, Dwarasavan. And among those 12 forests of Vrindavan, one forest is the central forest. It's the most, the topmost forest. Of those 12 forests of Vrindavan, one forest is called Vrindavan. And in that topmost forest, there is a central point. The very central point of existence. And what is that? Where? Because in the forest of Vrindavan, you have Nandagram, you have Barsana, you have Govardhan, Jamuna, Shamakun, Radhakun. All of these holy places are there in the forest of Vrindavan. And the Yamuna is bordering. The Yamuna River is bordering that forest of Vrindavan like a blue sash, or a blue ribbon winding around that forest. Very beautifully described by Prabodhananda Saraswati in Vrindavan Mahimamrita. The river of Yamuna, because it looks like, if you go up in the sky in an airplane, you look down at the river Yamuna, it looks like a sash. A sash is some cloth that you tie around your waist. So that it's going like this, and very deep, dark blue, shamrang, very beautiful. And you can see. So the acharyas give us this aerial vision of the Yamuna, like a blue ribbon or like a blue sash winding around Vrindavan forest. So, of all those places, the centermost place, as Prabhupada mentioned, is Radha Damodar. So why is Radha Damodar temple called the center of the center of the center of the spiritual world? Because of a forest known as Sevakunj. Sevakunj. Radha Damodar temple is situated in the center of Sevakunj. Sevakunj is the place where Krishna serves his devotees. Where the Supreme Lord, the Paratattva, the Supreme Truth, Ishvara Parama Krishna, where the Supreme Controller, he is serving his devotee. In the forest, or in the forest grove of Sevakunj, Krishna serves Radharani in Sringhar Bhat. He picks beautiful flowers, malati flowers, and he weaves flowers in her hair, makes a beautiful bakula garland, and he puts it around her forehead like a crown out of bakula flowers. He does service to Radharani. He massages her feet. Then he digs a well when they're dancing in the Rasa dance. Then Vishakha is thirsty. She wants some water. So Krishna digs a well for Lalita. And later on, he digs a well for Vishakha and Nidivan. So in this place, so Prabhupada said, this is the center of the spiritual world. This is the centermost point, Sevakunj, where Rupa Goswami came and did his bhajan. And then he established, with his own hands, he established the deity of Radha Damodar there. So there's a very interesting truth behind this. Why he established Radha Damodar? Because Radha Damodar is the deity that describes the leela of Krishna being bound by his devotee's love. Krishna is tied by the love of Mother Yashoda. So that is Damodar. that he's tied up, he surrenders to the pure love of his devotee. He allows himself to be tied up, he allows himself to be controlled by his pure devotee's pure love. So that deity was established in Sevakunj. So this is actually the center point of existence. The center point of the spiritual world is Sevakunj. And what goes on in Sevakunj? Service. And who is teaching the example of the principle of service? God himself. Krishna is teaching it. This is the center of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is based on service. To prove that point, even I serve my pure devotees. So this is what Guru teaches. When we make the Guru the center of our existence, and we never forget the central point, and then we turn, our mind turns around that hub. Just like the materialist, his mind is turning around this illusion of trying to desire the material world. When we're always turning around this central point of Guru Seva, then Guru will take us out of this material world and he'll place us in the spiritual world of Vrindavan. And the essence, the central point of the spiritual world is service. And that is why Prabhupada, he did his bhajan in Radha Damodar temple. For 6 years, he stayed there, in the place of Jiva Goswami, in the place of Rupa Goswami. And then he took that principle of service, and he went all over the material world, and he said, surrender to Guru and serve Guru. Make the service of Guru your life and soul. And that's how the devotees of ISKCON were glorified and appreciated by the rest of the world's Vaishnavas. The rest of the world's Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavas in the world, they would see Prabhupada's disciples and they say, these devotees have Guru Bhakti. I don't know much about them, but I can see they have devotion for Guru. So Guru Bhakti is based on the principle that Guru is the center of my life. So Guru will take you out of the samsara chakra, he'll take you out of the cycle of birth and death, and he'll place you in Sevakunj, in the service of Radha Damodar, in the service of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, in the spiritual world. So these are some points of this verse that we can reflect on and try to incorporate into our lives. Is there any questions or comments? Who has asked a question that the speaker has made the point that if you stop thinking of the material world, then the material world will stop to exist. So how does it stop to exist? So, Lord Chaitanya, you see that great devotees of the Lord, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have no desire for liberation. They don't want liberation. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, he prayed like that. He says, I don't want liberation. It doesn't matter whether I live in this life or I take another birth. Because when I'm in the material world, I'm not in the material world. I'm in the spiritual world. So when a devotee is absorbed in thinking of Guru and feeling for Guru and willing and serving for Guru, the material world stops for him because he only lives in the spiritual world. Once Srila Prabhupada was speaking and he asked the devotees, he said, what is the problem with our activities? Everything we do is because some reporter said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what do your devotees do for recreation? You know, chuti, holiday. What do you do for recreation? It seems that you work so hard and you're always running around. And then Prabhupada said, everything we do is recreation. And then he asked the devotees, isn't dancing recreational? We're dancing. What about eating? That's also recreation. Recreation means joyful, pleasurable, happy. It's a vacation. So all we're doing is dancing, chanting, reading nice philosophy, associating with devotees, having festivals. So practically speaking, this is the International Society for Recreation. Which means, that's what Prabhupada said, which means the International Society for Enjoyment and Pleasure. So when a devotee exists on this plane of Guru Seva, the material world stops to exist for him because he's not engaged in material activities. Material world means material activities and material identifications. He has no more material relationships, he has no more material activities, and he's in the material world, but he's not of the material world. Because his consciousness, his thinking, feeling, and willing are simply engaged in spiritual activities. So that's why the pure devotees, they don't care if I take birth after birth, because it's not the material world for me. This is Ananda Dham. This place is blissful for the devotee. He's in the material world, but he's not part of it. So that means he doesn't exist in it. And if he dies, he doesn't come back to the material world. And if he lives, he doesn't live in the material world. That's like Narada Muni when he met different people. He said, I can give you a benediction. So then he met the king, and then the king said, please give me a benediction. Narada Muni says, yes, king, you should live a long, long life. Live a long life and enjoy. And the king was very happy. And then he said, and the king said, why are you blessing me with a long life? Because after you die, you'll have to suffer so much. because you're enjoying too much illicit activities as a king, and you'll have to suffer. So better you live, because when you die, then you'll have to suffer a long time. And then he met a rishi and a yogi, and he said, oh yogi, you should die right now. You should die right now because you've done so many tapas and meditations. Now you'll get the fruit. You'll get the tapa phal, the fruit of all your austerities, and you'll go to Swargaloka or Tapaloka, Janaloka. You'll go to some planet. But when he met the devotee, he told the devotee, and he asked for meditation. He said, devotee, he said, Panchagoda. Narada Muni told Panchagoda, Panchagoda, you can live or die. It's the same. If you live, you're in Vrindavan, you're serving Radha Shamsundar. And if you die, you'll go to Vrindavan and serve Radha Shamsundar. So there's no difference for the devotee. This is the story Prabhupada told. So therefore, there's no material world. You might say, well, what do you mean? He looks, he's walking, he's in this material world. But wherever our consciousness is, that's where we are. Just like Lord Chaitanya. It appeared that he was in Shantipur, or it appeared that he was in this material world. But then Advaita Acharya said, no, mora mana have Vrindavanme. He said, Lord Chaitanya, you're not in, because Lord Chaitanya said, where have you taken me? I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but you kidnapped me, and you've taken me to Shantipur. And then Advaita Acharya said, no, my lord, we have not taken you to Shantipur. Don't think that this is Shantipur. This is Vrindavan, because wherever you are, you're mora mana. Just like this verse said, mana maya. The material world is in our mind. This is what Prabhupada says, mana maya means we're thinking that we're this body. So as soon as we change our thinking, we change our reality. So that's the whole idea of the class, the whole point of the class. We start thinking of Guru, and Guru will change our reality. He'll take us out of darkness and take us to light. Tamasi mam jyotir gama. Guru can do that. And light means the spiritual world, Brahma Jyoti, Paravyom, and Goloka Vrindavan. So this, the devotee is no longer in the material world. So that's what we mean by when you start thinking, when you change your thinking, you change your reality. Everything is by in our mind. You see, when you become on a very advanced platform of spiritual life like Raghunath Das Goswami, he created a whole reality in his mind. It's called Manasa Seva. I mean, it's not, you know, these are advanced liberated souls. They create the whole, it's called Spurti. Their mind is completely, the spiritual world descends into their mind. Golokera Premandana Harinama Sankirtan. Through the Harinam, with the background of the holy name, as Sanatana Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they continue to chant japa. And by chanting Shuddha Nam, the spiritual world descends. It descends by the power, that Sankarshan, that attracting power of Shuddha Nam, brings the spiritual world down into their mind. And that spiritual world sits into the, fills their mind, and when they close their eyes, they have spurti of that spiritual world. They have vision, and they're chanting japa, and they're seeing the whole spiritual world in all the pastimes. That is for the most advanced devotees, and that was displayed by Raghunath Das Goswami. So someone might say, oh no, he's sitting here in this material world. But no, he's sitting, he's living in his mind, he's living in the spiritual world. So some of us, our mind may be the equivalent to Dante's Inferno. If anyone knows about literature, Dante's Inferno. In other words, our mind may be hell. So come out of hell. Don't burn in the fire of the mind. Our mind is burning, but we should take a bath in the Yamuna. Bathe in Manasi Ganga. Manasi Ganga is created by Krishna's mind, so we can put our mind inside. Take a bath in Manasi Ganga and purify the mind. Manasi Ganga is at Govardhan. It was created by Krishna to fulfill the desire of his father. His father wanted to leave Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj wanted to leave Vrindavan, so he had some desire. So we also have so many desires to leave Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the pure service of Guru. So if we take a bath in Manasi Ganga, then it'll change our desire. Nanda Maharaj, he took a bath in Manasi Ganga, and he said, oh, I'm very happy, this is Ganga. No, I don't have any more desire to leave Vrindavan. So Krishna is providing us a facility to change our desire. So that facility to change our desire is to take a bath in the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And then our desire will change. And then our world will change. Some other question? The question is, it has been said that this material body continues to exist on the basis of desire. It's a fact. This body is called a karmasthan. Karmasthan. As is this material world, which is also a big body. So this material body is a karma stan. Stan means it's a place of karma. It's a place of fruitive activities. And it is existing because of desire. So when one develops, no, when all the material desires are gone from the body will not exist anymore. That is, the body will cease to exist. So we see that it's described sometimes, like Das Goswami, when he was living at Radhakund, he's doing his bhajan, and he couldn't bear, of course he had no more material desires, he couldn't bear to continue to exist in his body. He was just, it was too much, and so the Lord said, oh, he's suffering so much pain, and he took him back to the spiritual world. So the material, we're only staying on in this material body and in this material world due to desire. So as soon as our desire changes, and our material desire stops, then we stop our sojourn in this body and in the next body. This body is only existing on the basis of material desire. If we become full of spiritual desires, then we can leave this body tomorrow. In other words, you may, for example, you may have in your hand 70 years to live. By material karmic desires and by destiny, you may have 70 years in this body. But at the age of 20, you take up bhakti yoga. You take up spiritual life. And somehow or other, by Guru Kripa and the mercy of the holy name, in 10 years, you have no more material desires. You're 30 years old, although you're destined to live 70 years in this body. You're 30 years old, but there's no more material desires. And if the Lord does not have any specific service for you, you will leave your body at that moment.
All is higher in the spiritual world if it isn't based on the principle of service, because the spiritual world grudges based on service. It would seem to be a higher, more intimate degree of service going on.
That, I think everyone understands that. In terms of exchange of ras, or exchange of intimacies of services, there's a gradation, which is of course mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, which you point out. And the gradation gets more and more intimate until you come to yoga fit and etc. So that's clear. But it's simply, as you mentioned, you already answered, seems to me, you've answered your own question. The gradations are based on the central principle, or you could say the foundational principle. Just like the central principle is service. And then there's so many spokes. Not that all spokes are equal. One spoke, you know, the topmost spoke may be Radhakund Yoga Pit or something, or the Yoga Pit and Vamshibad, like that, or Nandagram. But all the spokes, all these different types of rasas and all these different types of relationships with Krishna, the center point is service. And that's what is exemplified. That's our understanding, and other people that we ask about the meaning of the why Seva Kunja is considered a central point in the spiritual world, that Krishna himself, even he's rendering service to his servants there. This principle of serving is so high, and it's the whole spiritual world is based on that. And that is what the spiritual world is revolving about. Now the position of, the relative position of different rasas, that's clearly described in the shastras. But the basic center point is service. And that's merely the point we wanted to bring out. So just to summarize, this verse explains that the mental chariot of birth and death. So our mind is spinning. Our mind is always spinning and turning around something. But usually our mind is spinning around an illusion. The central point of our life is an illusion, that I am the body, I am man. So we have to change the center of the hub to the principle of Guru Seva. So our mind should spin around that central point, always thinking about the service of Guru, developing feelings for Guru, that's bhakti, devotion, and willfully, with our willpower and desiring and trying to serve Guru with all of our words, our thinking, feeling, and willing. This is the basic essence of the class. Our mind is always moving, and when we're awake or when we're asleep. But let it be always moving around the central point of Guru Seva. Many devotees, when they sleep, they dream of Guru. There's so much thinking of Guru that when they sleep, they also dream of Guru. So even when they're sleeping, their mind is turning around Guru. And when they're awake, they're turning around Guru. This is on our platform, this is the most important principle. Keep Guru in the center. And then Krishna will be very pleased and bestow his mercy upon us. And then the whole spiritual world, by the power of Guru's pleasure, will descend into our heart, into our mind. And then we will experience the true meaning of Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.